This week, we continue learning about the laws in Leviticus and the joy that we receive by being in God's closeness and God's presence. And the first section of Leviticus is all about offerings, the different types and what they are for that you bring before God. And they seem to portray this detailistic, strict order of doing things being ordered by God, which seems to sound like it's all done just to appease God. But I think there's more going on in this text than God creating these laws for people just to make God a happy God. You see, God is a very powerful God, a holy God. And because of that, God's very being cannot be fully shared outright with God's people. So a tent, a tabernacle, is built as a place where God could come, where people could come before God and live in this close proximity to that holiness. In order to do that, they've been given instructions, laws that help give them knowledge about how to approach God, how to approach the tabernacle. And God wants nothing more than to dwell with humanity, a way forward to a repaired relationship between heaven and earth, atoning sacrifices meant to communicate grace and not punishment. While the laws governing Israel's sacrificial system can be some of the most challenging parts of the Bible to read, they're also an integral part of the unfolding story of the Bible. Some of these instructions in the laws aren't in place because the scenario is necessarily bad, but rather there needs to be steps taken from doing something and then going before God. Right? It talks about if you have a loved one who has died and you do the proper burial, then you must purify yourself before going before God. It's not that burying your loved one is a bad thing. You just need to take a step before going before God, before going in that tabernacle. So when these guidelines are placed on the people on what they need to do to enter it, we see them as this clean versus unclean or pure versus impure or impure, especially when bringing forth the offerings. But it's really more about ready versus not ready. What all this might come down to is a species imbalance. God is divine, and we are not. And with that imbalance, there needs to be boundaries in place so that the people of God are able to live in the close presence of God. Think about it with rules that seem like a given. You wouldn't think that somebody would put their hand in a garbage disposal willingly, right? But they had to put it on there so that we are aware that there could be a problem if you did. And I'm sure somebody has, and that's another reason why there is a warning so it doesn't happen again. But the garbage disposal isn't bad. It does good things, right? For the most part, right? It breaks down food and all of that. But if you don't take proper precautions when you're working it and you stick your hand too close, something bad is going to happen. Or what about this? A caution sign to watch out for ice in an ice rink. Of course, there's going to be ice, but you know that someone may walk out there all willy-nilly and they're going to slip on that ice. The ice rink's not bad, but if you don't approach it cautiously, you could fall and something bad could happen. Or a playground that has a bunch of different rules for the playground to make you safe, right? You shouldn't jump from the slides. You should go down them in a normal manner. You shouldn't roughhouse in these areas because bad things could happen. Playgrounds aren't bad. How people approach them and what they do can cause bad things. Or there's more of a hit it on the nose sign. Peanuts contain peanuts. Did you guys know that? So if you're allergic, you probably should know that peanuts contain peanuts. All of these things are not bad. But when you don't take proper precautions, especially if you are allergic or you're not following the rules or things, sometimes not so good things are gonna happen. And this is a helpful way to think about God, especially with God's close proximity and wanting to draw near with this tent of meeting, with this tabernacle. The tabernacle is the place where God has chosen to reside, where God is right in the midst of the people, trying to be accessible to them, trying to be in this intimate relationship with God's own people, God's own creation. And if you've attended my Bible study in the last few weeks, you would know that we studied the book of Leviticus, and we condensed it into 3 weeks. In the first week, we talked about these laws and the guidelines for offerings brought before God. And I showed a clip from this podcast called Enter the Bible, where they described God as a power plant. A power plant. It's powerful. It's this incredible resource. It's useful. It's not inherently bad, right? It does good things. But if you just walk into the center of this power plant willy-nilly, what happens? Do you guys know? What happens? Bad things, right? Something bad is going to happen if you just walk without any of these proper precautions. So you take proper precautions. You put on protective gear and all that stuff before entering the power plant, not because the power plant is bad, but because it's powerful. It's its very nature to be powerful. So it is in the best interest for us then to follow the guidelines to enter the power plant so that we are kept safe. And the book of Leviticus is all about God and humanity dwelling together. And here we find the terms that Israel must abide by to play host to this holy, powerful God. For the first time since the Garden of Eden, God is preparing to dwell in physical proximity to humans in this tabernacle space. It's far more limited than the garden. The space itself is limited, and Israel's means of engaging with God are limited too. However, Israel doesn't see these limitations as a bad thing. Getting to host God is cause for celebration. God is the power plant, and we are the workers, following guidelines in order to enter that tabernacle, in order to be in closeness to the most holy, to the most powerful. We do this not because God is bad or because God wants to hurt us, because that is just God's nature. God's nature is to be powerful and holy. And so God gives us the gift of warning so that we can be kept safe when we draw near to God. God doesn't give them to scare them. God gives them so that they can be close with God. And so once we enter this tabernacle, and after taking all of our proper precautions, when we bring our offering, there's 5 different types of offering, and each serves a purpose, but the offering of atonement is the one that we hear about today. And our sins then endanger us and our proximity to this God who is the source of all life. And atonement then repairs this relationship so we can stay in proximity to God. Real life is being in communion, full communion with this God. And so we enter the tabernacle with a burnt offering. And this burnt offering is an animal that is blameless, and it represents us. And it dies on our behalf so that we can be in this right relationship with God. This ritual is giving back to God what God has given to us. Offering death isn't necessarily bad because you are bad and sinful, and so you need to offer this animal to die. But because the offering is blameless, and because of that blamelessness, it allows us to get closer to God. And this is what the people do when God shows up to dwell in the midst, which God's presence is good and dangerous. The world has estranged us from God, so surrendering this life of a blameless soul to draw nearer to God is good and necessary so that we can commune with God. But the killing of an animal is death to oneself. And the blood is the life source. We learn about that in so many places. And so when the life of the worshiper is identified through this animal sacrifice in the laying on of hands, they lay the hands on this animal before taking the life as a way to receive that life source, that blameless life source. And when the blood is spilled and offering up on the altar, it is an offering up of one's life to God. And through surrendering your life to God, you can enter the tent to the altar to be one with God. And through this process of atonement, they become closer to God more than any other time in their lives. And when you break down the word of atonement, you get at one moment. It is the moment where we are at one with God, holy God. And the Hebrew word is for Kippur. Anybody ever heard of the Jewish festival Yom Kippur? Right? It's the Day of Atonement. Well, Kippur has two meanings. The first is to repay a debt, and the second is to purify. It becomes this time then of repairing of two things who are at odds with each other, but now can become one. Because of humans being able to be in this right relationship, be able to have a brief moment of this Garden of Eden, joy explodes from this moment. Joy seeps out everywhere. We are changed. The overwhelming feeling of joy when you are able to get a glimpse of the kingdom of God. And so we don't enter the tabernacle and sacrifice animals anymore to be able to be in close proximity with God. But this ancient ritual is one that is told through Jesus to us. The offerings show us that the ethics we find in Jesus' teachings were not new when he arrived on the scene. God's earliest guidelines for God's people had everything to do with loving God and loving neighbor. These offerings, these laws in Leviticus are to love God and love neighbor. And the same thing is represented in the life and death of Jesus Christ. The story symbolically captured in these offerings animates Jesus' story, which is that of laying down his life as this blameless representative and re-entering into God's presence so all humanity might have the chance to enter Eden too. And even though we don't have this ritual in the tabernacle that draws us closer to God, we are still able to draw close and experience that joy. The joy of the closeness of a loving God. We experience that through loving and serving our neighbors, through worshiping God and through prayer. When we see amazing things happening in the world to care for others, we experience the joy of the kingdom. When people are fed, when people are receiving medical care, when people are loved, truly loved and seen, that is the joy of the kingdom. We are witnessing a God who chose to dwell in our midst and is constantly working on us and the world so that we can experience Eden once again. Please pray with me. God, you have given us such a great gift, a gift to be close to you, to know your deep love, and to see why you so deeply care for us. Help us when we feel like these things are given to us, these laws are given to us as a way to hinder us instead of ones that are able to give us life, full communion with you. And help us to see how Jesus helps us to fully realize that promise and that gift. We ask all this in his name. Amen.